Computers can only follow algorithms. If something is computable, it must have an algorithm. Humans appear to perform non-algorithmic and therefore non-computable tasks. In other words, there is no computer program to describe some of the things that people do. Humans are therefore beyond computers. Exploring this hypothesis is the topic today on Mind Matters.
Welcome to Mind Matters, where artificial and natural intelligence meet head-on. Here's your host, Robert J. Marks.
Greetings. Are there things that humans can do that computers can't do? I think that lots of different people say yes, that the computers can't be creative, they're not sentient, they can't be conscious, etc., etc. But there is there an analytic, mathematical framework for actually making this point and proving the principle that computers can't do anything, that humans are able to do things above and beyond computers? The place I first heard about this was the work of Roger Penrose, who worked with Stephen Hawking on the Penrose-Hawking singularity theorems and cosmology. He wrote a couple of great books, The Emperor's New Mind and Shadows of the Mind, which were really eye-opening for me. And he talked about the idea of algorithms, the limitation of algorithms, and the fact that humans transcend algorithms. And to talk about the analytic aspects of this from a computer science perspective is our guest today, Eric Holloway. Eric has a PhD in electrical and computer engineering from Baylor University. He is currently a captain in the United States Air Force. And when he was on active duty, he served in the U.S. and Afghanistan. He is a co-editor of the book Naturalism and Its Alternatives in Scientific Methodologies, and Dr. Holloway is an associate fellow of the Walter Bradley Center for Natural and Artificial Intelligence. I have collaborated with Eric on a number of projects, and I can think of no one more knowledgeable than he is in this area. Eric, when I think of algorithms, I think of things which are step-by-step procedures, and I illustrate it sometimes with the instructions on the back of a shampoo bottle where it says wash, rinse, and then repeat. And I point out that if we follow this algorithm literally, we would be washing our hair forever, because it doesn't say repeat once, it says repeat. So algorithms are a step-by-step procedure that tells the computer, at least in the structure of the computer program, exactly what to do. So computers can only do algorithms. If a task is non-algorithmic, it is not computable. How would you define an algorithm?
Yeah, I think your statement of a series of steps is pretty good. For example, an algorithm could be like telling someone directions to your house. You say, turn left at Walnut Street, turn right at the McDonald's, and so on. So yeah, a algorithm is essentially a set of instructions that you give the computer to tell it how to perform some task.
You know, there's lots of people today saying that computers are getting bigger, they're getting faster, and so therefore they're going to take on consciousness, they're going to do things that the computers of the past can't do. And clearly they can do that because they're a lot faster in what they do. Why can we say with authority that today's computers can't gain consciousness or be creative or do these non-algorithmic sort of tasks?
Well, the interesting thing is known as a Church-Turing thesis. This says that any computer, no matter how fast or fancy it gets with like quantum physics or whatnot, they all are essentially equivalent in what kind of tasks they can do. Some just might do them faster than others.
So therefore, the computers of today are able to do things maybe billions and trillions times faster than the original Turing machine Alan Turing invented in the 1930s, but there's really nothing more than they can do than do these things faster and possibly in parallel. Are quantum computers are limited by the Church-Turing thesis? Yes,
that's correct. The two different extremes of Turing computation are deterministic and non-deterministic Turing machines. And the interesting thing is that both deterministic and non-deterministic Turing machines are equivalent in their power. And quantum computers are less powerful in terms of how quickly they can go than non-deterministic Turing machines. So since quantum Turing computers are in between deterministic and non-deterministic Turing machines, then and both extremes are equivalent, then that means also quantum computers are equivalent to any Turing machine you come up with. The difference is that with a deterministic Turing machine, there's only one thing that it can do each step. But with a non-deterministic Turing machine, there can be multiple things it does each step, and it does all of them.
Okay, so everything happens at once. You have this tree of operations, and everything can happen simultaneously. Or I don't know if it's simultaneously, but all of the operations are performed in some sense.
Right.
Okay. That's interesting. Now, one of the things which is important, I think, in actually proving, and I don't think it's been proved as of yet, I think that there's lots of anecdotal evidence, but proving that that humans are beyond computers rests with this idea of things which are non-algorithmic. Do we know anything specifically that is non-algorithmic, and maybe we can actually prove that it's non-algorithmic?
Yeah, there are a couple things. One of the most famous is the halting problem. And this problem is simply to come up with some program that, for any other program, this halting program can always tell you whether any of these other programs halt or do not halt.
And so it's impossible to write an algorithm to show whether another arbitrary computer program will halt or run forever. That's something which is provably non-algorithmic. So we know there at least exists one thing, probably more things, that are non-algorithmic. Are there some other things?
Yeah, there are other things that, in principle, a Turing machine couldn't do. For example, since a Turing machine, every single state in the Turing machine is determined by its past state, then it can never do anything in anticipation of future states. But we, at least intuitively, think we have that ability. We can do things based on plans for the future instead of just what is immediately happening in the past.
Okay, so computers do not have the ability to be purposeful.
Right.
Okay. And then you also list here free will. How is free will in a computer not algorithmic?
Well, again, it's because a Turing machine, everything it does at each step is determined by the prior steps. So the prior steps set up a probability distribution over future steps, if there's some kind of element of probability going on. And that distribution is fixed. There's no way it can change. So if we somehow can change the distribution over our future choices, then we've done something that is impossible for a Turing machine to do. Another point I had here was the idea of adding consistent axioms. So when we approach the world, we have kind of a background knowledge that we use to analyze the world. And we can talk about this in terms of a series of axioms or things we know to be true that we can derive other truths. But it's proven that it's impossible to algorithmically come up with brand new axioms for your system.
So what would be some axioms that I as a human being would have?
Well, like a little kid, they pick up their food and drop it over the edge of the chair too, and they establish the axiom that things fall when you drop them.
Okay, so these are experiential, foundational axioms on which we build our knowledge of the world in some sense, right?
Right, yeah. And the key is that the kid eventually learns that this always happens when it drops something. It doesn't think, oh, it just happened this time, but maybe next time it will float or something else will happen. So eventually it learns that there's this consistent underlying principle to dropping things.
So what is the problem then with adding so-called consistent axioms to the axioms you've already accumulated?
And this gets into a more technical realm called Gödel's incompleteness theorem.
Okay.
And
Let's go Girdle's, there.
Okay.
Everybody loves Girdle, but nobody understands him. So go ahead. Go ahead and wade in with Girdle.
All right. So Girdle proved that for any sufficiently powerful axiomatic system, so you have a list of these different basic true principles, there are always going to be other true statements that you cannot derive from that initial set.
Okay, that was his incompleteness theorem, is that right?
Right, the first incompleteness theorem.
So, okay, let me kind of... So that means that no matter what axioms you have, no matter what fundamental foundations you have, you are going to build a system, but that system is going to be incomplete.
Right.
Okay.
And so someone might say, oh, but we can just like randomly add axioms. But adding a random axiom does not guarantee that that axiom is consistent, which means that you can always prove true things and never prove false things, and there's no contradiction.
Okay. So how does this relate to Solomonov induction?
Okay, Solomonov induction is this theoretical justification for how we can detect patterns and just in general be able to learn enough about the world that we can predict things about the future.
Okay.
And this one also gets a bit technical. It deals with something known as Kolmogorov complexity, which is the shortest program that outputs a certain result.
Okay, I think we probably lost a lot of people right
yeah,
now.
Yeah,
but
right.
But I will tell you that the area, I guess three guys at the same time discovered complexity theory. There was Kolmogorov, Solomonov, and Chaitin, and they independently discovered this. And what is cool about what they did is that they discovered and generated and popularized the idea of algorithmic information theory. Now, if we think about the phrase, it's information theory, but it's information theory applied to algorithms. And if we're going to talk about humans having the ability to be algorithmic or non-algorithmic, this is a good place to study. We would like to know what is algorithmic and what is non-algorithmic, and algorithmic information theory is the field which talks about it, which is kind of cool. So let's go down some of the other things. Oh, you had something to add. Go ahead.
One interesting takeaway from the field of algorithmic information theory is that algorithms cannot create information. So algorithms, they prove, can never generate more information than you put into them originally.
And this is probably a distinction, isn't it, between humans and computers. If computers, constrained by algorithms, have the inability to actually generate information, then humans do have the ability to generate information. So right here, we have a very abrupt distinction between the two.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. And also, you have down here consciousness and qualia.
Yeah. This gets into more philosophical realms, but qualia is basically like the quality of something. And the basic thought experiment here is, say you were born blind, you'd never seen a red apple in your life. So no matter how much I describe a red apple to you, none of those descriptions will ever actually communicate the very experience of the red apple itself. So there's something, we call it qualia, that seems like it can't be captured by any set of instructions.
Oh, so there's no description for it in some sense.
Right, yeah, and somehow qualia just is itself. Like there's no way you can reduce it to something else and then communicate it.
I see. Okay. Well, I think we're surrounded by those.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, just every aspect of our life is qualia.
Okay. One of the things that we hear in the media is from people like Ray Kurzweil that he would like to go ahead and download his being, his brain, his whatever Kurzweil's mind is, into a computer. What does all of this say about the ability to download ourselves into a computer?
Well, since we are looking at all these aspects that are non-computational or non-algorithmic, then if you download yourself into a computer, that means you'd somehow have to turn yourself into an algorithm or a program. So you essentially lose all of these capabilities.
Okay. So if humans are non-algorithmic and computers can only do algorithmic things, then we can't replicate ourselves on a computer without losing the non-algorithmic things. Like you mentioned, the loss of creativity and free will and consciousness, et cetera. So at least that is with the computers that we have today. Do you think we'll ever have computers? We can't call them computers because computers mean what computers are today. Are we ever going to have anything computational that would allow us to download ourselves?
Well, and this is where we get back to the Church Turing thesis. Since the different qualities we talked about apply to Turing machines in general, which cover every form of computation we can ever come up with, then no matter how amazing computers become, they'll never be able to replicate these abilities. So, yeah, it'd never be able to copy what a human can do. And so if you turn yourself into a program, you lose all that stuff, even if it's a super fancy quantum computer.
Okay. I think what I'm going to do is we're kind of running out of time, so I'm going to end it here, Eric. And I wanted to thank you for joining us and ask you to come back and talk a little bit more about these ideas. Because in talking with you and doing research with you, they are just mind-blowing. And so we'll take it up with Eric next time on Mind Matters. Until then, be of good cheer.
This has been Mind Matters with your host, Robert J. Marks. Explore more at mindmatters.today. That's mindmatters.today. Mind Matters is directed and edited by Austin Egbert. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the speakers. Mind Matters is produced and copyrighted by the Walter Bradley Center for Natural and Artificial Intelligence at Discovery Institute.